Rest in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
America is as divided as it has been in 150 years.
Politics is symptomatic of the culture.
They don't have a personal relationship with Christ.
We've been sacramentalized, but not evangelized.
Why should Washington listen to us when our own house is in disarray?
The church's greatest riches are her people.
Share the contagious joy of being a friend of Christ.
Story after story after story. Story of people who have had inexplicable healings.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
That's beautifully said, Al.
Thanks for your voice for liberty.
It's like a homecoming each time on your program.
Clear to me that you've thought these things through at a deep level.
Let's build the church, and then we'll bless the nations. Well, good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for being here. We're opening the phone lines today at 1-877-573-7825. Now, I probably will not take calls until probably quarter after the hour, maybe 4:20 Eastern time, because I have some things I want to say. My original plan had been to focus in on the debate last night, but I don't think that's what we're going to do. I think many people, the passion of listeners, and judging by emails and comments, phone calls, many of us are still trying to make sense of the controversy surrounding two comments made by Pope Francis in this documentary called Francesco, which aired Tuesday night in Rome. There are two comments regarding civil unions, which had some, it has some warranted controversy to it. I grant you that. There's another statement made about homosexuals having a right to family. And I don't think that's controversial at all, because it clearly comes out of a passage or out of a conversation he was having about families who are disposing of sons and daughters who are same-sex attracted. And he's saying, look, it's not, we don't, a good Catholic family doesn't throw their same-sex attracted child under the bus or overboard. We don't shun, we don't shame. We understand, we hold firm the teaching of the church, but we do continue to accompany those who are dealing with these issues. Now, it's up to each parent to figure this out for themselves, but I think Pope Francis' remark on regarding family is pretty plain and easy to understand. Civil union, more difficult. We're going to go to that. First, though, let's get today's headlines, and we'll be right back with this.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, October 23rd. It's the Feast of St. John of Capistrano. Today's news is brought to you by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at CharityMobile.com. President Trump announcing today that Sudan will formally recognize Israel.
The State of Israel and the Republic of Sudan have agreed to make peace. This is for many, many years they've been at odds, to put it nicely.
The president hosted a conference call with the leaders of Israel and Sudan this morning and said it's a part of a growing process of Arab nations normalizing relations with Israel. He predicted that more peace deals are coming. The United Arab Emirates and Bahrain recently agreed to normalize relations with Israel. Historically, no Arab states have recognized the Jewish state. More than 700 firefighters are battling the East Troublesome Fire west of Boulder, Colorado. Incident Commander Noel Livingston says crews have the same mission today as yesterday.
That's where our focus is going to be again today. Grand Lake, Granby, getting a check on the southern side of the fire. And then obviously keeping an eye on this piece of fire that's perched above Estes Park.
The wildfire has burned 170,000 acres and is now the second largest wildfire in state history. Authorities said there's still a risk it could merge with the Cameron Peak Fire, which is the largest wildfire in state history. A confidant of Islamic terrorists who attacked the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino in 2015, killing 14 people, will hear his prison sentence today. 29-year-old Enrique Marquez Jr. pled guilty in February of 2017 to one count each of providing material support to terrorists and making false statements in the acquisition of firearms. He's expected to be sentenced to 25 years in federal prison. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria, Radio News.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Let me point out, by the way, that because some of you may not realize what's been going on in with the Trump administration's work trying to establish treaties between Israel and the surrounding Arab and Muslim-dominated nations. So you're looking at the United Arab Emirates now, Bahrain. Now we find Sudan. These are not getting the attention they deserve. There's been, you remember Jimmy Carter, right? Next week we're going to be listening to a great interview with Jonathan Alter, who's written the only thoroughgoing critical biography of Jimmy Carter. So we're going to pick that up next week. But I do, remember the Camp David Accords? Okay, big deal. Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat both won the Nobel Peace Prize for the treaty that was established between Egypt and Israel. In fact, Anwar Sadat was assassinated because of this by the members of a certain faction within the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's only recently, I'm talking about the last year, that we're now beginning to see Muslim-dominated nations actually begin to sign on and break the Muslim unanimity against Israel. Now, who would have thought, given President Trump's, you know, manner, right, that he'd be a peacemaker like that? You know, sometimes what you see, sometimes you get something better than what you see. Let's put it that way. And so what we've got now is we've got Sudan, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Egypt. You're seeing the Middle East changing here. And it just galls me that in this one area, which I think his accomplishments are just unequivocal, this is good stuff, that his administration is not getting the credit it deserves because the mainstream press, generally speaking, overwhelmingly so, can't stand him. And I think this is true. And as I've said on this program before, he creates a lot of his own trouble in the way that he presents himself, in the way he communicates. But I wanted to at least say that, because Sudan now deciding to recognize Israel is, these are big steps. And it should be front page news. All right, let me move to the other topic that I do want to get to today. I want to thank all of you, by the way, who have been responding on Facebook and through email and phone calls, and, of course, on the radio, regarding this situation that we're facing. I've noticed, though, even in many appreciative remarks, that there's an assumption being made that I think is spiritually damaging. A number of people have asked how I, quote, I can defend Pope Francis when I know that he has a list of clumsy remarks that are jolting for people who prize orthodoxy. Let me make it very clear. I do not need to defend a sitting pope. He can defend himself. He doesn't often do so. I will defend the papacy, which is a different apologetic project. What I will try to do, though, is understand what in the world is going on here. And let me say, many people are assuming that somewhere there's a publicly certified serial list of gaffes, awful comments that are somehow all of equal significance and all point to some kind of agenda that Pope Francis must have. There is no such list, by the way. There are lots of lists. Tom Hoops wrote a book where he tried to explain some of those remarks of Pope Francis's early on in Pope Francis's pontificate. Tom's project was probably, was I think, can be called an attempt to be as edifying as possible. But look, some of Pope Francis's comments are frivolous, the kind of remarks that you dismiss if they were said by a loved one because you know that it's just the way he talks or a figure of speech or a slip of the tongue. Other remarks, he intends to shake things up, make a mess. And we have learned we'll probably never get a follow-up from the Pope to clarify it. Because from what he has said now, and this is important, because he said he wants these things to go out there and simmer. He wants people to chew on them. That's part of his make a mess project. I'll tell you, that style of leadership really bothers me a great deal, because by temperament and by calling, I want to try and bring clarity and charity. When a leader of his stature refuses to answer questions, yes, it feels insulting. But is he intending to insult me? No. He claims that he's wanting us to think on these things. So when four or five cardinals wrote Pope Francis to clarify aspects of Amoris Laetitia, he refused to reply. The questions are all laid out. They're public. You can go see them. You can answer them yourselves. They were not hard questions. They were meant to clarify certain aspects in the eighth chapter, especially in the eighth chapter of Amoris Laetitia. They could have been answered easily. Pope Francis didn't respond at all. Why? I don't know. Maybe he saw these cardinals as insubordinate and he wanted to teach them a lesson, you know. Maybe he didn't respond because he didn't like the black and white yes and no style of the questions, and he wanted to leave certain questions in the air for us all to gnaw away at, to dwell on, develop greater powers of discernment, a more robust conscience as a result. I don't know, and you don't know. He hasn't told you, he hasn't told me. A lot of what is causing people heartache right now is because they are pushed into false dilemmas, because they are pushed into filling in blanks they have no authority to fill in. They do not have the knowledge, and they don't really even have the responsibility to have to fill them in. Other remarks of Pope Francis have been controversial because they have been grossly exaggerated by the echo chamber of broadcast media and social media. We saw that this week, in fact, when I saw two print organizations actually publish statements to this effect. And I am not exaggerating. It was this blatant. Pope Francis calls for same-sex marriage. This is utter nonsense. Every time Pope Francis, when he was Cardinal Bergoglio, and as Pope Francis, whenever he's spoken about same-sex so-called marriage, he says it's destructive of God's plan. He said it's an anthropological regression. It's a backward step for human nature. There's absolutely no question of his attitude on same-sex so-called marriage. It's a contradiction in terms. In other words, it's an impossibility. It's like a loving abortion, right? No, I'm sorry. That's not how love expresses itself. And same-sex contact is not how marriage expresses itself. So we have media fog. And, you know, there's an old statement. I think it was Peter Herbeck the other day we were chatting on this. I don't remember. But he referenced a black pastor named Tony Evans down in Texas who says, you know, when there's mist in the pulpit, there's going to be fog in the pew. When there's mist in the pulpit, there's going to be fog in the pew. In other words, when the preacher doesn't really have his stuff clear, it's going to create fog for the listeners. And this remark in the documentary Francesco about civil unions is part of, is fog. It's not explained. He says we need to have civil unions to protect their rights. I think we can say there does mean homosexual couples. Civil unions is rather undefined. There's a huge debate in the law from country to country about the what civil unions are. What's the relationship to domestic partnerships? I mean, I know in cases where there are domestic partnerships between aging people and their live-in nurses. Domestic partnerships and civil unions have no necessary legal connection to sexual expression. They refer to legal relationships. Now, we can talk more about this later if you'd like. We also know that not only does the media and ignorant people take advantage of some of these, what can you call them, unclarified remarks, but you also know that there are wolves in sheep's clothing who are going around. Some of them are ordained, some of them are lay people, but they have an agenda. In fact, let me mention an incident that happened this morning on NPR's Morning Edition. This is Father Brian Massengale. He's a professor of theology at Fordham University, the author of a book called Racial Justice in the Catholic Church. This is what he had to say about Pope Francis. How long is that cut? Okay, let's get the cut in, and then we'll go to the break. But listen to this cut. He said this morning on Morning Edition, NPR's Morning Edition.
I was actually very excited and even jubilant, I have to say. I was very, very pleased to hear the Pope make this kind of endorsement of civil unions for gay and lesbian persons. The Pope is grounding his call for civil recognition and protection in the right to a family. And he says that gay and lesbian persons have the right to a family and a right to a family life. And this is important in the Catholic world because we believe that the right to a family is a...
Yeah, listen to me. That's a bald-faced lie. The comment in the documentary Francesco is referring to homosexual children who have a right to the family into which they've been born. And it's an exhortation to parents of same-sex attracted children to not shun, shame, or throw their kids under the bus. It's not about developing some sort of new family.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
Where does darkness dwell? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness?
What we can see of the cosmos is only one-tenth of the mass needed to explain stable spinning galaxies. Science's answer? Massive amounts of dark matter, or stuff we can't see. But the gravitational force of all that dark matter would cause the universe to shrink and collapse. Except the universe is not collapsing, it's expanding. How is that possible? Science's answer? Dark energy. And just like that, the Earth was saved. And just exactly what is dark matter and dark energy, and where does it come from? We have no idea. But God knows. And one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet sheds some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
This program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit St. Paul Street Evangelization. St. John Paul II stated that for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation. So we know we're called, but how do we do it? St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Pro-life across America, the billboard people.
I remember when we found out we were expecting you and we were so surprised.
You were?
Yep, but then we heard your heartbeat and knew you were going to change our lives.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby. And we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at prolifeacrossamerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-life across America, the billboard people.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta, talking about what's something that I discovered, which is under, which is often underneath a lot of controversy that causes tremendous insecurity, anxiety, heartache, anger, even rage, unbelief, doubt among God's people, and it's the inability to distinguish between what we know and what we don't yet know, between what we have certainty over and what we suspect or what we guess or what we heard from somebody else that may or may not be true. And then when we don't make those distinctions, we are vulnerable to other people pushing us in the direction that they want. They fill in the blanks for you. And oftentimes this happens in a climate of indignation, moral outrage. And it's very funny to me to watch this going on and have people repeat back to me things they thought I said, which I didn't say at all. And my purpose here is to try to help clear the fog a bit and to figure out what we actually know and what we don't know. And here's another big problem. Not only do we have difficulty distinguishing what we know from what we suspect or what we guess, not only do we have the problem of being vulnerable to other people pushing us into false dilemmas or to fill in the blanks, but we also have the problem of being unable to live with ambiguity. Sometimes you have to live with the fact that you don't know, and you're not going to know anytime soon. You have to kind of live with open questions. Psychologists will tell you that's actually a sign of emotional maturity, is when you can learn to live with ambiguity. I know there are a lot of people who want every I dotted, every T crossed, everything sealed up and beautiful. Many people may even become Catholics. because they think when you become a Catholic, all the questions are answered. Of course, those of you who've been Catholic for very long know that that's not the case, that there are always open questions about life. Becoming a Catholic doesn't mean you have access to kind of pagan oracles that can answer whatever question you lay before them. So those are things to keep in mind as we go through this. One, you have to distinguish what we really know from what we suspect and what we're guessing. We have to not let people push us into false dilemmas or to fill in the blanks prematurely. And thirdly, we've got to learn to live with ambiguity. So we have the media thing, as I was saying, the distortions. Then we have wolves in sheep's clothing that are working and operating among us. Let me go back to this NPR interview with Brian Massengale, who has an outstanding voice. I'll tell you that. It's a great voice. But what he's saying is not good at all. And here's a question from NPR's Rachel Martin to Father Brian Massengale. He's an openly gay, openly homosexual priest and theologian from Fordham University, up at Fordham University. His area of expertise is actually racial justice in the Catholic Church. He's written a book on it. But he's being asked, understandably, he's being asked about Pope Francis' remarks, and he's reading in to these very thin remarks everything he wants. He wants to hitch his wishes for the future of the Catholic Church to this little remark that Pope Francis makes in this documentary. Listen to this question.
Does extending the right to a civil union and acknowledging that LGBTQ people should be allowed to have a partner in their life through a civil union and a family, does that mean children?
Absolutely. Pope Francis first made this kind of affirmation when he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires before he became Pope.
That's false. Pope Francis was opposed to gay adoption when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires. And I have no indication that he's changed his mind on this. So here we have again a very secure, a very well-spoken person who is ordained, getting up there and twice in questions to NPR answers falsely. Will he be disciplined by his university? No. Will he be disciplined by the bishop in whose diocese or archdiocese he's incarnated? I doubt it. This is what laity has to take. Now, what do you want to do with this, right? Is this, you want to rise up angry and go after this? No, it's time to start thinking smart about this. This is the age of the laity. This is where we take co-responsibility for the church. It's time for us to enter into face-to-face confrontation. And that means addressing these questions with the people who are manipulating what we know and don't know. And I'll tell you, here we actually have a figure that we can confront. So, what about your own parish? Your own diocese? Are you ready to actually get, again, keeping in mind all the time that you have to distinguish what you know with certainty from what you suspect or what you guess? You have to also be strong enough to resist people, often friends even, who will kind of push you into false dilemmas and force you to fill in the blanks prematurely. And are you able to live with ambiguity? Because you're going to have to here. You're going to have to do that. But it's time for the laity to step up at this time. Now, right now, I mentioned wolves in sheep's clothing. We have bishops in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, where there are bishops and theologians and priests who have been calling for the church to recognize and bless same-sex couples. They've been doing this for several years now. I'll tell you my bet on this. My bet is they will fail. All right? But I don't know that. I suspect that. I'm going to act on the basis of my suspicion here that they're going to fail. Nevertheless, they're calling for the church to recognize and bless same-sex couples. Now, that means how? The church will not, the church will never bless same-sex so-called marriage. It will never backtrack and say that sexual expression outside the bounds of holy matrimony, that that's not sinful. That's not going to change, and we need to be secure in that and not worry. That's not going to change. But what might happen is this concept of civil union might be manipulated. I think that's what's going on here in Europe, where they're going to try to use the concept of civil union or domestic partnership to, in fact, have same-sex marriage by another name. Now, the truth is they're not the same, and there's a certain way in which the church doesn't have any opinion on, quote, civil unions. We have opinions on sexual expression. We have opinions on marriage. But civil union or domestic partnership, that's a different category. And in fact, that's a civil concern. That's a prudential decision that governments will make. Our teaching remains very clear. Marriage is male and female. Yeah, with the expectation of children. And in fact, same-sex marriage is a contradiction in terms. The church will never accept it. All right, the number is 1-877-573-7825. 1-877-573-7825. So, there's more that's going to be coming out on this. Today, there's a report. The Mexican broadcaster that held a 2019 interview with Pope Francis, part of which was used in this documentary, has claimed that the Vatican held back footage from the 2019 interview that she conducted with Pope Francis, in which the Pope called for the passage of civil union laws for same-sex couples. That footage appeared in a documentary on Pope Francis that we've been talking about this week. And at this point, the Vatican has not yet explained the situation. Woo, this gives rise to all kinds of suspicions, doesn't it? But what do you know? What do you know? A spokesman for Televisa told the Washington Post that, quote, someone at the Vatican gave us the part that we did broadcast. This is back in 2019. And later they gave the rest of the material to someone else, end of quote. The missing footage appeared in the documentary Francesco. This is what we've been talking about this week, and which prompted a global media firestorm. The Vatican has not addressed why the comments that were excised from the interview that it sent to Televisa back in 2019 later appeared in this documentary. Now, if you're listening to this, you might be saying to yourself, that's fishy. Maybe it is. You know, it's odd, that's for certain. There may be a perfectly good explanation for this. I don't know if we're going to get one. But this Televisa's Vatican correspondent, whose name is, by the way, Valentina Alazraki, I've seen her twice in interviews with Pope Francis. And I have to say, she's probably the best interviewer of Pope Francis that I've seen, in that she is really able to focus and get answers to questions that are frequently not. In fact, that interview from May of 2019, she actually asks him directly about his doctrinal orientation. Is he conservative or, quote, liberal? And he says quite plainly, he's, quote, conservative. That's the English translation. Who the heck knew that? That he would make a public statement like that. All right, we'll go to your calls next. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. I'm Al Cresta. We'll be right back.
there's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Religious freedom and health care and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic health care and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in health care and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
What comes to your mind when you hear the word passion? Passion often signifies intensity of emotions and feelings, frequently in terms of lust. But the Catholic Catechism tells us passions are neither good nor bad in and of themselves. In other words, passions are morally good if they contribute to a good action, and evil if they bring about the opposite result. The most fundamental passion is love, says the Catechism. It is aroused by attraction to the good, the desire to attain the good, and fulfilled by joy and pleasure once the good is possessed. Evil, on the other hand, arouses hatred, aversion, and fear. Passions are the passageway connecting the senses and the mind. Jesus said the source of all passions was the human heart. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Going to your calls in just a minute. Look, we just had a call come in, didn't want to go on the air. But it's a good example of the kind of problems that we all face. So someone calls up and says, "You sound wishy-washy. Are you for civil unions or against civil unions?" Well, I wish you'd call. I wish you'd gotten on the phone, because my question back to you would have been, "Well, tell me exactly what you mean by civil unions." Because I don't know what you mean. You need to explain what you mean in order for me to give you the kind of response that you deserve. But if you're not going to do the work of actually clarifying what you mean, how am I supposed to answer you? I think, if you don't know where I stand on same-sex relations by now, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. There is absolutely no doubt that the teaching of the Catholic Church throughout history, and it will continue to teach throughout history, that same-sex relations, by which I mean genital contact, sexual acts, that these are intrinsically disordered. They are acts of moral evil. So if you'd like to ask, what do you think about civil unions? I'd need to know what you mean. If you mean civil unions as an encouragement to drive people towards same-sex marriage, no. Of course I'm not in favor of that. But many people don't realize that civil unions and domestic partnerships are not fundamentally about homosexuals. It's a legal category that allows people like a brother and sister who are living together, and the sister is not working, the brother is working, and he would like her to be on his insurance plan. They create a domestic partnership or some kind of civil union, which allows that to happen. And that's what I mean. So you say, well, you're for civil unions. Tell me what you mean. I'm not afraid to answer when I actually know what's being asked. Let's go to Bob in Dayton, Ohio, listening on the EWTN app. Good to have you with me, Bob.
Hello, Al.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hey, I would like some help with the interpretation of today's gospel, where in the first part it basically talks about, you know, how to interpret the signs of the times, what Christ is trying to tell us, what does that mean for us today, and how that kind of ties into the second part of the gospel where he talks about, you know, going with your opponent for a magistrate and making an effort to settle the matter on the way.
Yeah, it's a difficult passage because it's not self-evident what Jesus is getting to here. I've come to bring, let me just make sure I've got the passage right in front of me. Let me pick it up at verse 54, I think, is where it picks up in the gospel reading for Sunday. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? That seems that if he had stopped there, it wouldn't be too difficult to know what he's getting at. But then he goes in verse 57, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. And I tell you, you'll not get out until you've paid the last penny. So we move from this passage, which seems pretty clear that, you've sharpened your intellect and you've sharpened your senses to be able to judge the climate, the meteorology, you know, you can know what the weather is going to say, but you haven't spent the time sharpening your spiritual discernment, being able to discern between good and evil, be able to discern the signs of the times and what's happening in your own generation. Now, that's what I think he's saying, right? But when he gets down to this passage, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? I get that. Then he goes in, as you are going with your adversary. So all of a sudden he's introduced an enemy here, somebody we've got a difference with. And he wants us to reconcile with this person. And we ought to, just for reasons of self-interest, because if we don't reconcile with him, he may turn on us and drag us off to the judge, and then we go, you know, end up in prison. So I don't have a good answer for you on that second part, but the first part I think is pretty clear. It has to do with having your spiritual senses trained, as the book of Hebrews says, to discern good and evil. It means knowing the signs of the times, what Pope John the 23rd said when he called for the Second Vatican Council. So why don't you, do you have anything to add to this?
As far as how it relates today, I see how it kind of fits in even the things you've been discussing so far in your program.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems today with people being able to interpret and interpret in a correct way, in the moral way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's kind of bringing to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, we have to be diligent. We have to really look hard to see what the truth is.
Yep.
Because it can be confusing. As you were saying, there's a lot of confusing things coming out.
Right.
People saying things that are contradictory.
Yes, and we've got, this is why I say we have to learn to live sometimes with unanswered questions for a while, right? We know ultimately all will be seen and all will be known when we stand face to face with our Lord. But while, you know, before the kingdom is manifest in its fullness, we're in a tension. We're in a tension between the kingdom that Jesus inaugurated when he came to earth and the tension between the kingdom yet to come. And so it means we see through a glass darkly now, as St. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians. We see through a glass darkly. Eventually we'll see perfectly. We'll see him face to face. All these questions will be answered. But right now we have got to do our best to have our senses trained to discern good and evil. It's a good passage to bring up in light of this problem. And I'm glad you did, Bob. I think it's a real edifying passage to bring up. Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thomas on Facebook says, Pope Francis changed the catechism on the death penalty. Why is it bad to claim he's changing the catechism on gay marriage now? Two very different things, Thomas. Throughout church history, there's been a majority and minority report on the death penalty. And the majority report has been that the civil authorities are free to exercise lethal force to protect the innocent. And that means that also applies then to criminal behavior, murderous behavior. You don't have anything like that. And then there's also a minority report which says, which is more pacifistic, so you don't exercise lethal force, right? That's always been part of the church teaching. There's always been an undercurrent of not to use lethal force until it's absolutely necessary. That's never been the case, though, with same-sex so-called marriage. There's never been a minority report in the church in our history in which people claim that sexual acts outside of holy matrimony are okay. So these are two very different settings. That one deals with bedrock, unalterable, unchangeable dogma. The other deals with a problem of social ethics, which has is much more flexible and permits of greater interpretation. Again, excellent question. Those are exactly the kind of questions that we need to continue working on. Let's continue with your calls. The number is 1-877-573-7825. That's let's go to line 6, okay? I just saw this question come up. This is Patricia in Fairhope, Alabama, listening on Archangel Radio 94.5. Go ahead, Patricia. Let's hear you.
Thank you, Al. My question is, does the church allow openly gay men to become priests?
No. The answer is no.
But you said that priest was gay, and I didn't...
The answer is no. And what you're seeing is irresponsible ecclesiastical leadership. Bishops, college presidents are not exercising their responsibility. I have no personal vendetta against this man. He seems like a mature, delightful fellow, socially speaking. But in fact, no, the Catholic Church teaches against. Perhaps he would say that he's chaste, and I would be glad to hear that. But the point is, calling yourself openly gay at this moment in our history means that you are siding with a particular ethic in our country right now. And that ethic is going towards advocacy for same-sex acts. And I think it would be very interesting to have Father Massengale sit down with us and explain where he thinks this story ends, right?
I'd like to know, excuse me.
No, go right ahead. You're the caller.
No, I'm just wondering what his bishop is going to say to him. I mean, is he allowed to be openly?
Your question is in earnest. It's a great question. It is a fair question, and it deserves an answer from the authorities. The bishop should answer your question. I can't give you a good answer for it because I think it's scandalous that he's permitted to present himself in this way. And, you know, we have others who continually go around trying to raise our sensitivities and make us more accepting of people who have same-sex attraction, which I don't have any problem with that. But they never bring up the fact that same-sex acts are forbidden. It's as though they are afraid to say that because they think they'll scare people off.
Go ahead. What if a man said, "I am a homosexual, but I want to be a priest, but I believe in only chance." What if he believed everything that the Catholic Church believes?
Could yes.
he still be? Then shouldn't he be able to be a priest? I mean, if he really believed everything you're saying.
Yes, this has been discussed before. I'm trying to remember exactly what year it was, but I believe it might have been Pope Benedict, when Cardinal Ratzinger became Pope Benedict, or just before it. There was a document put out in which seminary rectors were told and bishops were told that men who experience persistent and sustained homosexual inclinations should not be candidates for the priesthood. The document mentions something about transitional homosexual feelings, and I think that what they mean are, you know, sometimes I guess people have some sexual confusion at a certain age, and if that passes, that's fine. But if there's persistent sexual inclination towards the same sex, they're not supposed to be in seminary being trained and educated for the Catholic ministerial priesthood.
Because I've heard of a priest, an author, a priest that is renowned and I love dearly, that I heard suffered from worry about same-sex attraction all his life, but he was a wonderful priest.
And I think there probably are plenty of Catholic priests who are dealing with same-sex attraction. I'm not, by plenty, I don't mean 75%. I mean, you know, who knows how many, but right now they are ordained. If they are experiencing same-sex attraction, they need to be chaste the same way that a priest who experiences heterosexual temptation needs to be chaste.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? Not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, "Hey, when are you going to come to my man cave?" Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When's the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. We got about 2 minutes left in this hour. Let's go to Ron in Iowa, listening on Sirius XM 130. Ron, good to have you here. We're a little short of time, but go ahead.
Hey, Al, how you doing?
Doing great.
I'm just calling about what you said about the Pope. Everything he says is a little confusing. You know, in the Bible, God says, Paul says about God that he's not the author of confusion.
Right.
And you know, and as men, we're not to judge one another, mm-hmm. but we as Christians, we should judge the fruits
yes.
of somebody to determine if they are a Christian or not. And from what I see, the fruits ain't looking good, you know, with Pachamama and vague statements like this. And the problem with Christians today, it's just like the problem with Lot in his time. He was vexed every day by the living in that unclean city, you know. And
right.
he was probably moved so far left every time. He didn't even realize how far left he moved. And
no,
I think that's the problem with
well, he gives his,
today.
He gives his daughters off to these homosexual men. He tells them they can have his daughters. I mean, this guy is sick. Well, yes, you're right. We are supposed to be discerning what's true and what's false. And these are the kind of conversations we try to have on this program. I would say, though, we don't want to go beyond what we actually know. So give me a call sometime with a particular issue, and we'll talk about it together. Jesus does expect
this
us to discern.
Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
America is as divided as it has been in 150 years.
Politics is symptomatic of the culture.
They don't have a personal relationship with Christ.
We've been sacramentalized, but not evangelized.
Why should Washington listen to us when our own house is in disarray?
The church's greatest riches are her people.
Share the contagious joy of being a friend of Christ.
Story after story after story. Story of people who have had inexplicable healings.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
That's beautifully said, Al.
Thanks for your voice for liberty.
It's like a homecoming each time on your program. It's
clear to me that you've thought these things through at a deep level.
Let's build the church, and then we'll bless the nations. Well, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. We're here for another hour talking about the things that matter most. We decided to dedicate our conversation today to, no, not the debate, but to the ongoing confusion surrounding Pope Francis's remarks on this documentary, Francesco, the reporting on it, the buzz over it. So Christopher on Facebook asked a very good question. Referring to the 2003 document that was developed by Cardinal Ratzinger, signed by John Paul II, in which he rejects the idea of, I don't have it in front of me, but it's civil unions that for same-sex couples. The difference, the thing that has to be, I've read a canon lawyer who I know is a champion of orthodoxy on this. I'm not certain I entirely understand him, but if I understand him correctly, one of the shortcomings of that 2003 statement is that it equates civil unions with homosexual behavior. And in fact, while we can assume that homosexual couples in civil unions are going to engage in homosexual behavior, in fact, civil unions, legally speaking, by definition, have nothing to do with a person's sexual behavior. And I think that we'll come back to this question, Christopher, when we can get a canon lawyer on with us, somebody who's a champion of orthodoxy, who will be able to compare the 2003 document with the present our present circumstances. So I'm not going to go beyond what I'm confident of here, but I do think there's a difference between the 2003 document and what we're looking at today. All right, before we go any further, though, we go to the headlines.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, October 23rd. It's the Feast of St. John of Capistrano. Today's news is brought to you by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at CharityMobile.com. President Trump announcing today that Sudan will formally recognize Israel.
The State of Israel and the Republic of Sudan have agreed to make peace. This is for many, many years they've been at odds, to put it nicely.
The president hosted a conference call with the leaders of Israel and Sudan this morning and said it's a part of a growing process of Arab nations normalizing relations with Israel. He predicted that more peace deals are coming. The United Arab Emirates and Bahrain recently agreed to normalize relations with Israel. Historically, no Arab states have recognized the Jewish state. More than 700 firefighters are battling the East Troublesome Fire west of Boulder, Colorado. Incident Commander Noel Livingston says crews have the same mission today as yesterday.
That's where our focus is going to be again today. Grand Lake, Granby, getting a check on the southern side of the fire. And then obviously keeping an eye on this piece of fire that's perched above Estes Park.
The wildfire has burned 170,000 acres and is now the second largest wildfire in state history. Authorities said there's still a risk it could merge with the Cameron Peak Fire, which is the largest wildfire in state history. A confidant of Islamic terrorists who attacked the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino in 2015, killing 14 people, will hear his prison sentence today. 29-year-old Enrique Marquez Jr. pled guilty in February of 2017 to one count each of providing material support to terrorists and making false statements in the acquisition of firearms. He's expected to be sentenced to 25 years in federal prison. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
And good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. The number is 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Ed in Melbourne, Florida. Good to have you, Ed. Nice to hear from you again.
Hi, Al. First-time caller. I love your program.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Thank you for EWTN Radio and for addressing all these kind of gnarly issues. I'm one of these guys that sent you a Bruce Lee email yesterday.
I don't think I've seen it yet. I don't think I've seen
it. Yeah, it was about the yellow flag. I was throwing the yellow flag on you. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
But here's my, and I think you touched on the answer in your comments before the break on the Facebook, the person that had a question on Facebook mm-hmm. about the legal definition of a civil union versus the words same-sex civil union.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I was kind of throwing the yellow flag on you yesterday because you were trying to untangle the confusion out in the world about marriage and the church's infallible and clear-cut, you know, dogma on that. It's one man, one woman,
mm-hmm.
versus, by contrast, a civil union, which is totally different. But my rub with that was, well, they don't just say it. He didn't just say a civil union. He said same-sex civil unions, which is clearly, I mean,
no, he had
why
in
else
mind. Yeah.
would a man...
Yeah.
Why else would two men or two women engage in a same-sex civil union? Now,
why would they engage in it at all?
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible, you know, my maid and, you know, the guy that paints my house and me
right.
are like in a traveling road show and we might want to be in a same-sex civil union, but come on.
No.
I mean,
that's
the
not...
only reason people are going into a same-sex civil union
no.
is for marriage by another name.
No. Domestic partnerships and civil unions are two types of legal categories that overlap quite a bit. And for a while, domestic partnerships was the word that was being used, and now civil unions are kind of is the popular word now. Okay, we both know what the church teaches here, and neither one of us wants to weaken that at all. A civil union is what? Civil. It's a civil union. It's not an ecclesial union. The church has nothing to do with it. It's a state operation. And we live in a free society. Our society is filled with people who have redefined marriage. In America, I don't think civil unions are going to come up at all because there's same-sex so-called marriage out there. But we homosexuals didn't redefine marriage. Heterosexuals redefined marriage. They redefined marriage as impermanent. They redefined it as, you know, not being necessarily connected to the expectation of children. And homosexuals began to say, hey, wait a minute. We have relationships, too. Why shouldn't we get some sort of recognition so that we can also file joint tax returns and we can also get on the hospital visitation list? And if you go to work and have health insurance, I'd like to ride in on that. What do we have to do that? And they said, well, we have to do domestic partnerships or we have to do civil unions. And it says not, you know, the point is these guys are living together already. They are a couple in their eyes. Our position on it is clear. They're living in sin. What do you want to do about this? The state wants to create a legal device for them to share insurance, to share joint tax forms, you know, go over the list of things. What do you want to fight about that? Because you're fighting about nothing. You're reaching out to these men for conversion has nothing to do with their interest in a civil union. You're interested in their moral life, not in their civil union. To me, it's virtually irrelevant when we're trying to reach people for Christ. If they're in a civil union, that means nothing for us. They could be living together. They're cohabiting. Now they've got a civil union. So what? What's different now for us?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that would be...
Go ahead. Yeah,
yeah, I do. I acknowledge what you're saying. And it appears to be benign, but I might push back a little bit and counter that.
Don't do that.
What you're asking the state to do and the legal apparatus of our, of companies to do in the country is to recognize two people in a relationship that hinges upon homosexuality. And that's not ordered towards the good of society. Marriage is recognized by society because it's ordered to the good of society, but you're asking the state to recognize for sake of insurance and benefits and so forth. And that's where I think the connection comes between the recognition of this for administrative purposes, because why should the state recognize and provide benefits for something that's not ordered towards the betterment of society?
Yeah, because we lost.
Of the common good, I should say.
Yeah, we lost. We fought this battle and we lost. So now,
okay. Well,
do you? I mean, Cardinal Bergoglio. People misunderstand what he did in Argentina. He took on the president of the country on this question of homosexual marriage, and he fought the good fight. He thought, in order to avoid redefining marriage in Argentina, he suggested this idea of, quote, civil unions. And the state said, no, we want full-blown marriage here, which creates all kinds of problems for the church that civil unions would not. Now, he brings up civil unions, and from my perspective, my attitude is, why? Holy Father, why? Why do you want to get us embroiled in this kind of war? It doesn't change anybody's moral behavior. It gets us involved in political discussions that are going to be divisive and harmful for a lot of people. So on the one hand, I don't think it's a big deal in terms of civil unions, especially in a place where already you've got flagrant homosexuality, and that what we see is nations are not going to be turning that back. It's very clear this is going to continue. Our attention, it seems to me, ought to be on evangelization. It ought to be on demonstrating through our parish life, through our family life, through the domestic church, that Christ's teaching about marriage and sexual expression leads to fullness of life. It leads to joy. It leads to a fruitful life. you know, Sally, I experienced tremendous satisfaction in my marriage with Sally and with our five children and our nearly 16 grandchildren now. If you want to count in the womb, there's 16. I love it. And I enjoy it. In fact, I have a hard time sometimes continuing my work because I just like being hanging around with the kids. The world needs to see what Jesus taught is true. They have to see the kingdom manifested in our lives. And fighting about, this is what I don't like about the Holy Father is wanting to go towards the civil union idea. I think it's going to create all kinds of division, and we're going to have to fight about it. I don't want to see that. But I, at the same time, I want to make sure I say again, I don't exactly know what he means anymore because he didn't reflect on it. So we lost, and so we should turn our attention back to building the church, and that's the best way we can bless the nation. Nations are going to go out and have same-sex marriage, and we should just get on with our work. That's my attitude. So, you there, Ed?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Al. I wasn't sure if you put me on hold or not.
Yeah, no.
I just kind of, just as you're talking, I kind of get a sense, and this comment from the Pope and the way the forming faithful consciences was communicated to the laity in various ways from different people, depending, you know, if I go to this parish, you know, it's communicated to me very clearly in this way.
Yeah.
But if I listen to this bishop here, well, he's saying something else entirely.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of putting a different spin on it.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it seems to me that in some ways the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church, which tells me we're on the offensive.
Right.
Yet in these two issues, it seems like they're throwing in the towel on those issues and saying, oh, well, we're not going to change Roe versus Wade, so we might as well focus on health care and refugees problems and so forth.
No, with Roe versus Wade, what you have to – I have no idea if we're going to dismantle Roe v. Wade. I don't have any special confidence in the members of the court. I mean, I have confidence in certain of them. But, I mean, what does that mean? So if it doesn't change, what does that mean? It means that we have to strive all the more to demonstrate the preciousness of every human life conceived right up to natural death. That's why this National Day of Remembrance that we've talked about on this program with Dr. Monica Miller and many other people is so important, because on the National Day of Remembrance, we actually name and go to the graves of those aborted unborn. We don't treat them like trash. We don't treat them as though they've been disposed of. We remember them. We give them a name. We give them a face. We act as though we really believe that every child conceived is a gift from God and is a precious, is an eternal being. So we, in some ways, I'm all for continuing the fight against Roe v. Wade. But what I'm saying is, even if America continues to support abortion laws, there's still a lot we can do to demonstrate the truth that God treasures each human life from conception to natural death. Nobody's going to believe that unless we demonstrate it. And so we need to be finding ways to demonstrate these truths, because when we do so, people do get a glimpse of the kingdom of God. They say, well, that's kind of weird. I mean, these people are out there visiting graves of aborted babies. Why? And those are the questions that our behavior is supposed to raise. So I'm not throwing in the towel in the sense of
I wasn't suggesting you were throwing the towel.
No, and I'm not encouraging others to. I'm just saying that it doesn't matter what Caesar does in terms of the integrity of our faith. We have to live it, and we have to find new ways to live it out, because this, look, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it until the Lord takes me home. We're now living in a period of history in which a Christian civilization has decided to voluntarily cut itself off from its Christian heritage. We haven't seen this before. We are back we're in a new apostolic era where we can no longer count on the support of the surrounding society to give us the benefit of the doubt or to go along with our vision. We have to rekindle that vision within the church.
What is catechesis and why do we care? The job of catechesis is to reveal all the joy as well as the demands of the way of Christ, says the Catholic Catechism. The way of Christ is summed up in the catechesis of the Beatitudes. Jesus gave us the 8 Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount. The Catholic Catechism tells us this teaching is the only path that leads to the eternal beatitude, happiness, for which the human heart longs. The catechesis of sin and forgiveness challenges us. Unless man acknowledges that he is a sinner, states the Catechism, he cannot know the truth about himself, which is a condition for acting justly, and without the offer of forgiveness, man could not bear the truth. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
There is a time for everything under heaven.
As moral agents, we exist in a universe that allows us to move in three space and one time dimensions called space-time. The paradox in which God has placed us allows us complete freedom of movement through the space dimensions, but we are constrained to move in only one direction through time. That irony of freedom and constraint forces upon us the natural law of causation. For every moral action we take in space, a moral consequence is delivered in time. In space, we can go forward or backward. But why, oh why, can't we go back in time and fix things? We really have no idea, but God knows, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GETCURO.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. You know, it never ceases to amaze me what people hear sometimes. And so I just get a call off the air. A person doesn't want to come on the air. This always amazes me, too. Saying, you really support same-sex unions. Now, how could that happen? So earlier today, I mentioned that we've got wolves in sheep's clothing out there who are intending to divide us. They're tending to, they really are. They operate with the father of lies. And I mentioned in particular certain theologians and priests and bishops in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, who have been calling for years for the church to recognize and bless same-sex couples. So let me try to put this together. Al Cresta says that these theologians, bishops, and priests in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland who are calling for the church to recognize and bless same-sex couples, he calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. But secretly, he supports same-sex unions? Come on. There's sometimes where I think a person's, quote, religion masks certain kinds of psychological weaknesses. Talk about that sometime, too. But there are lots of people who have difficulty living with ambiguity, and so they want you to prop them up. They want you to raise your voice. They want you to agree with them because they don't have the security to actually stand on what they've already been taught. I'll say this again. The Catholic Church teaches without any ambiguity that same-sex relationships, that any attempt to establish same-sex marriage or to encourage same-sex acts is evil. I know there's some people who think that they intend it for good. But objectively speaking, same-sex marriage is an impossible thing. It's a contradiction of the term marriage. Same-sex acts are intrinsically disordered. They're a form of moral evil. No matter what the intention is behind them, they are a form of moral evil, objectively. So I don't quite know what kind of person wants to then say that there's some ambiguity in what I'm saying about the church's teaching. I'm not insecure about this. I am not afraid that some pope or priest or politician or warlock or wizard is going to come along and change the teaching of the church. Let's go to Charlene in Weathersfield, Vermont, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. It's good to have you with me, Charlene.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is first of all, say I'm not very articulate, but this is based on what you kind of just said.
Sure, go ahead.
And I'm not suggesting that Pope Francis will do this or any future pope will do this, but, you know, I've heard, you know, good Catholic speakers say that the Pope cannot change church teaching. But is it possible for a Pope to issue an encyclical against church teaching? And if he did, I mean, what does it mean that, you know, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church? So does that mean that if a Pope issues an encyclical that, you know, is against church teaching, does that mean that, you know, I don't know, he's going to drop dead? I mean, is it still possible, a pope to write something, put it out there to the faithful, and at the same time it be against church teaching?
Well, let me say, first of all, you're quite articulate. That's a very well-formed question, and it's a very practical question, and it's a question that every thinking Catholic is going to have to come to grips with at some time or other. Let me first of all make a recommendation, because I think this book will help. It's called Teaching with Authority: How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says. It's by Jimmy Akin. Jimmy's there at Catholic Answers. You often hear him when I go off the air.
Right.
Jimmy comes on. It's called Teaching with Authority: How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says. Very important book to answer a very important question that you've raised. And so it's difficult to answer these questions in the hypothetical. So I'll do the best I can here. We make a decision. Go ahead.
If I could just say, and let's assume that, you know, for the sake of this conversation, that Pope Francis comes out and says that homosexual unions are okay.
Okay, good.
And now, church teaching has always said it's wrong, so then what?
Okay. Then the laity stands up and says, not true. The bishops stand up and say, not true. Priests stand up and say, not true. There would be a process. First of all, I would need to really go back and think about when anything that bizarre happened. Church history is a strange bin. You can reach in there and find all kinds of strange things. So I don't want to say something like this has never happened. There have been some questions going back to early popes like Honorius. But the situation you describe, I cannot think of any time in recent memory, and I'm talking about over the last few hundred years, in which something like this happened. So let me say it's rare. So if it did happen, the faith is not limited to the Pope. The faith is the possession of the people of God, okay? It doesn't mean that we take a vote or that it's a democratic process. That's not the way the church is constructed. But it does mean that the lay people have embraced the faith. We know what the church teaches. And if there's a renegade in the papal office, I trust that the people of God will stand up and say, wrong. You may not know this, but during the 4th century and into the 5th century, during what's called the Arian crisis, I think it was virtually every bishop in the East, the Eastern Church, had denied in one way or another Christ's divinity. And it was the lay people who stood up and said, wait a minute, you guys got this wrong. Now, this is complicated because, of course, during that time, you didn't have separation of church and state. And so you had the emperors were changing, and some of them supported Christ's divinity, and the others of them didn't support Christ's divinity. So it was complicated more than it would be today. But no, I think the faith is something bigger than the Pope. It's bigger than the bishops. The faith is the perspective on life which Jesus Christ gives to those who are united to him through faith and baptism. And we are ever growing deeper into that faith. And so by means of his Spirit, we come to recognize increasingly, discerning what's true and what's false, what's good and what's evil. And so I think there'd be a huge fight about this, and it'd be a worthwhile fight, although I honestly don't think we'll ever see it.
How did that comes in conflict with loyalty to the magisterium?
No, because what you would have to have happen, and this I'm certain won't happen, you would have to have all the bishops agree. You would have to have you'd have to have such unanimity, and you're not going to get that on something which is in direct contradiction. Here's what you might be thinking of in the back of your mind. You might be thinking of what's called development of doctrine. And this happens in church history where a bishop, understands that there's been a deeper insight into a certain aspect of church teaching. And so he lays that out, and that is then received by the faithful as not a contradiction of previous teaching, but a development of it. And we've seen this many times in church history. And so these things don't happen quickly. They happen over a long period of time. And many times you can see them coming. So, for instance, you've got the Declaration of the Immaculate Conception. This has been a belief which was not part of the well-defined dogma of the church early on, but it's been part of the church's belief, but it wasn't defined until 19th century. the bodily assumption of the Blessed Mother is not defined until, I think it's 1951, or 1950 maybe. That's a development of doctrine. It doesn't deny anything that's gone before, but you might say it takes it one step further. So
there's a difference between a development of a doctrine and then somebody actually opposing doctrine.
Contradicting the doctrine, yeah. So,
contradicting.
Because that's what you'd have here. You would have a contradiction. You would have to say we are redefining marriage to include same-sex couples, same-sex acts. That won't happen because in the Catholic doctrine of marriage, children are an essential part of the expectation of marriage. Marriage is created by God so that there will be, Adam and Eve multiply and fill the earth, you know. Children are an essential part of marriage. Homosexual couples cannot naturally produce children. So on that on those grounds alone, they will not be, couldn't be allowed into what we call holy matrimony.
I guess then the question I really want to know, so it is possible, it's possible for a pope to say something like that.
Yeah, I mean, in the abstract, it's always, it's possible, but it is so unlikely, it's outside any plausibility that you would get that kind of direct contradiction.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
and right. Now, if anybody knows otherwise and wants to send me an example of this from church history, I'd be glad to refine my thinking on it. But off the top of my head, at least in, again, the last few hundred years, I don't think we've got anything like that. Appreciate the call, though. And I think you were quite articulate. So don't sell yourself short there, Charlene. I love to hear from people in New England, too, by the way. That's where I grew up. I'm Al Cresta.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Religious freedom and healthcare and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare, and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
This program is brought to you in part by the support of MVP Realty Associates, helping people find homes in the town of Ave Maria, Florida. The town of Ave Maria has a water park, golf courses, restaurants, medical and retail stores, and is located 20 minutes from Naples. New construction and resale homes are available. More information about the town of Ave Maria and the vision of Domino's Pizza founder Tom Monahan is available from Greg Musumano at 239-825-6958.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. The number is 1-877-573-7825. 1-877-573-7825. To Philadelphia, Pennsylvania we go. Alice there is listening on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 and 1570 AM. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
Hi, good to talk to you.
This is Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, as I told the call screener, I have a lot of years in catechism class. Nobody's talking about ex cathedra. You know what I mean?
Yes, of course I do, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
That's all we have to worry about. When he sits on the seat of Peter and he talks, then we have to listen. Politics, we don't. So we're getting ourselves all upset over nothing.
I generally agree with what you're saying there. I'd make one mild disagreement with you here, and that is ex cathedra is an exercise of what's called the extraordinary magisterium, and we've seen ex cathedra statements made regarding the Immaculate Conception and the bodily assumption of the Blessed Mother. We are also obligated, though, to learn and expect correct teaching in what's called the ordinary magisterium. But what we're talking about with this thing, the documentary of Francesco, and the very short statement that he makes about civil unions, I agree. It's a political statement. I don't think... It lets us know a little bit about what he's thinking, but there's nothing in that statement that we are bound or obligated to believe. And I think you're right.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I can tell you another time when he said that Catholics are not really bound to have babies like rabbits. Yeah. I didn't take that very kindly because I have 12 children.
I try
to take it with a grain of salt. I didn't think it was a very nice statement about families.
Well, he apologized for that statement. But, yes, I do remember it. It was very clumsy. Yeah.
Well, my opinion is that when he's – especially when he's on a plane, tired from a big, long mission trip, he should just say no comment. Because they're going to take whatever he says and turn it inside out and make their benefits.
Well, you're a Catholic after my own heart, Alice. I think the same thing. Just when you're with the media, shut up. Especially when you're tired. You're always, I don't personally know Pope Francis, but I do know what it's like to be tired and to travel and to always be on. When you're in, if you're in a public setting and people know you, as somebody who teaches or somebody who's on the radio or television, look, you're on all the time, and you cannot just shoot from the hip. You're going to cause all kinds of trouble. But I think we're on the same page, Alice. Thanks. Good talking with you. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let me just respond to a few things here that have come in on Facebook. So an earlier one, which I wasn't able to get to, has somebody who's written us on Facebook says, civil unions approve of homosexual relationships, period. And approving civil unions for homosexuals in order to save marriage is a classic. Ends don't justify the means. No, no. Look, there's a fundamental misunderstanding here. And that is, you don't control the state. You can oppose what the state wants to do, but you don't have any special authority to do a darn thing about it. Right now in America, we've got same-sex so-called marriage. And if you want to waste your time, you know, kicking against the goads, go ahead and do it. But we're going to have to live in a world in which the secular society is honoring, recognizing, supporting same-sex marriages. And if you're not already thinking how you're going to respond to your neighbor, your neighbors who are, in fact, a same-sex couple, maybe with even children, then you're not thinking about the future very clearly, because that's going to happen. And you can say, well, I know what the church teaches, and they'll look at you and they'll say, oh, right, but we're not Catholics. And so I guess that's good for you. It works for you, doesn't it? It doesn't work for us. So how are you going to respond to that? Society's not going to support us in this. And I think we're still back imagining that Christian faith is determinative in American culture and society. Listen, I've made this point many times before. Take a look at the major areas of our life together. Multinational corporations, highly centralized government, the entertainment industry, the news media, the academic world. Where in those areas that make up a big part of our daily life, where in those areas do you see Christian influence or Christian control? Nowhere. How about the sectors of science, engineering, medicine, and technology? Do you see Christian influence? You know, occasionally we'll have an outstanding leader like somebody like Francis Collins, who heads up the National Institutes of Health. And he does, you know, he's been on this program many times over the years, although not in the last few years. That's good. And he can exercise a little bit of influence there. But basically, when he was going to be named head of the Human Genome Project, there were people who thought that was a terrible idea, simply because he was an outspoken Christian. And they thought that what can a Christian do with this kind of intensive scientific enterprise? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He told me that earlier in his career, trying to find the gene responsible for cystic fibrosis was like trying to find a burnt-out light bulb somewhere in a basement, somewhere in America. That's the kind of dogged research that he did. And he did that as a function of his Christian faith, not in spite of his Christian faith. So Christians can really lead in all these areas, but rarely do we see them exercising influence. So, look, it's time for us to just take seriously. We've got the church, and we've got our families. There we can really exercise creative influence. That's where we can develop great content. And I think we can no longer trust that American society is going to work with us. The Obama administration went after the Lutheran Church over the question of who has the authority to define who counts as a minister in your schools. Now, they lost. The Obama administration got whacked on that. There was a unanimous Supreme Court decision against them. But the fact that they would even try tells you that we're, and tell you, if we get a Democratic administration, I think we're going to face this kind of religious liberty problem a lot in the future. All right, let's continue with your calls. 1-877-573-7825. That again is 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Robert in Cape Coral, Florida, listening on the Ave Maria Radio app. Hi, Robert. How are you? Yeah.
Very well. I envy Alice because she sleeps a lot better at night than I do. I see a bigger problem here. I have children. I'm an educator. And when I try to educate my children into what is right and to follow the basic tenets of the church and of natural law, and we have the Pope bringing in basically idols into the Vatican, equating Christianity, Catholicism with Islam. And we researched that one. And if you look at the writings of Vatican II, it says, because Muslims profess to worship the same God.
Right.
It doesn't even recognize that they worship the same God. Mm-hmm. It says, because they say so, we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But taqiyya, lying, is one of the basic tenets of their religion.
Yeah. How many Muslims?
The Pope.
Yeah. So,
but have the when you have the
go
Pope
ahead. Okay.
Doing this, and now in any way supporting these unions, we know what these unions are. These unions are a way to civilly make the homosexual behavior more justified and easier. Because you can have a union. I can make a corporation with you and have the same rights, and I have absolutely no attraction to you.
Right, right.
We can make the same
rights.
That's
what I'm saying.
And have the same financial agreements, visitation, whatever you and I wanted to agree. It's called contract law. This is taking it to the next level, and this is looking at basically giving the birth to homosexual unions.
Yeah, we don't know
And here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing that scares me.
Whoa, what happened?
You're awake tonight. 67% of the cardinal, 67 of the cardinal electors have been appointed by this rogue pope. 42 by Benedict and 19 by Paul.
Yeah, well, I don't consider him a rogue pope.
He's got the majority right now.
Are you saying that he's an illegitimate pope? Is that what you're saying?
I think he is a rogue pope. I think he is ignoring the basic tenets of the Catholic Church.
Like what?
I think he is purposely misleading.
Yeah. What are the basic tenets that he's? You said that he's ignoring, or
well, let's start out with, you know,
how about
idolatry?
The Trinity?
How about idolatry?
Well, how about
bringing in Pachamama into the Vatican? That is a pagan idol.
No, you don't know that. You don't know that. It's absolutely unclear. It's absolutely unclear.
I'm very active in the clean water movement in South Florida. And let me tell you, I have a lot of Pachamama worshipers in my flock.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
And they're not from the Amazon, though. That was a westernized, stylized take.
We can sit here and make every excuse.
Well, I'm not making an excuse. I'm telling you what it is.
But
you can give it. What's there?
The confusion is still there.
The confusion.
What was the value of what he did? What was the value of having, you know, that idol there?
First of all, it's a stylized representation from the Amazon region. I don't think you're going to find that thing in the Amazon anywhere. That was clearly the work of Western artists trying to look Amazonian, for heaven's sake. Why? Because you do have rogue priests who want to give the impression that they've gone native in the Amazon, and they want to give you the impression that we don't need to do the work of evangelization and call people to repentance and conversion to Christ, that they're fine just the way they are. Yes, we've got priests of that sort, but up to this point, Francis hasn't taken that side. He's been very clear that we have to live lives of missionary discipleship. He's involved. Hey, let's take another thing. What do you make of it when Pope John Paul II kissed the Quran? Did that discredit him?
Mistake.
Yeah, I agree. It was. I thought it was a mistake too. But did you discredit him as a result of that?
I did not discredit him because that was a mistake. Yeah. I am very concerned about Francis because I am seeing a pattern over the years.
Well, let's talk again on this, Robert. I mean, this is a very worthwhile conversation, and I do think it's important for us to try to understand exactly how these things work together.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
There's a simple step to raising a more grateful child. I used to say, easy, eliminate half of their material possessions. I don't say that anymore. That's ridiculous. I say 75%. They don't even miss 50. 22 stuffed animals, you go down to 11? Not exactly a hardship. Simple step to raising a more grateful child. Don't be so free with the material stuff. Research has shown more generous people, by and large, have less. You give a child less, he's more willing to share it. He also is more able to occupy himself with things like boxes and dirt balls and rocks, worms, stuff that doesn't cost a whole lot of anything.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thanking you for being with me. Wish we had more time. Andy in Texas, Matt in Novi, Ashley in Iowa, Ron and Zachary. I wish we could get to all your questions and your comments. Hopefully next week we'll be able to do that. Andy has a great little line here. Quote, "We are being worked up by a soundbite. A lot of agitation is because of that one soundbite, which is Pope Francis did not explain." And before we get worked up, I would say we need to know exactly what he's trying to get at here. We do know that there are wolves in sheep's clothing in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria who have been calling for the blessing of same-sex unions of some sort. And is this part of that? Or is it simply the memory that he had of what he did in Argentina when he was fighting against same-sex marriage. And he thought that this civil union idea would keep Argentina from redefining marriage. We'll know eventually, but not tonight.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.